The river has crested at 24.18 feet at 4:15 a.m. this morning. The river is starting to fall. Minor flood stage is 16.0 feet. Record flooding is occurring and record flooding is forecast. Forecast, the river will continue to fall to below minor flood stage by later tonight. Impact, at 22.0 feet, moderate flood stage. The Broad River is at levels similar to those that occurred in September 2004 due to Hurricane Francis.
JW, testing 1, 2, 3, 4. W4DJW, testing 1, 2, 3, 4. DJW, testing 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. DJW testing 1, 2, 3, 4. DJW testing 1, 2, 3, 4. 2, 3, 4. DJW testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
A trace of precipitation fell today, which brings the monthly total to 5.62 inches. The total precipitation for the year now stands at 12.64 inches. Sunset tonight is at 6:03 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow is at 7:22 a.m. Here is a weather statement. Wind advisory remains in effect until 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time this evening. Winds, west winds 15 to 25 miles per hour with gusts up to 40 miles per hour. Timing, through 7 p.m. this evening. Impacts, gusty winds could blow around unsecured objects. Tree limbs could be blown down and a few power outages may result. Additional details, wet soils from recent rainfall, in addition to wind gusts, could result in fallen trees. A wind advisory means that winds of 35 miles per hour are expected. Winds this strong can make driving difficult, especially for high-profile vehicles. Use extra caution. Here is a weather statement. Wind advisory expires at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time this evening. Winds have weakened across the area. Some low-end gusts are still possible over the next few hours, especially over the higher terrain. These are the 6 p.m. observations for the upstate on Friday, February 7th. At Greenville-Spartanburg International Airport, it was fair. The temperature was 39 degrees, the dew point 21, and the relative humidity 48%. The wind was west at 14 miles an hour, producing a wind chill of 31. The pressure was 29.90 inches and rising. Downtown Greenville, it was fair. The temperature was 40 degrees. Elsewhere in South Carolina, at Anderson, it was mostly cloudy, with a temperature of 39. It was fair, with a temperature of 37 at Clemson, 39 at Greenwood, 44 at Columbia.
DJW testing 1, 2, 3, 4. JW testing 1, 2. W4 DJW testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. W4 DJW testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
JW testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
WJW testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
K4BAN, W4DJW. I'm doing pretty good. You guys staying dry over there? You up on the hill over in Clemson?
I live on a little bit of an incline. I don't know what the highest point in the city is. I want to say it's like 840, 850, and I'm around 820, so I'm okay. I think down in campus and other places, they've had all kinds of issues.
I had a friend in Charlotte call me this morning. He said, He's going to have the front yard right where the dirt meets the house. He's going to have all of that dug out, dried out, and then put some kind of a shielding to keep it from happening again. But it's going to cost him. He said it's going to cost him about $5,000 to fix after that rainstorm. That one rainstorm cost him about $5,000.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. I have a few places I could probably improve gutter downspout flow and things like that, which is just something I need to do. But yeah, that's insane.
Well, I guess that's not too bad when you consider some of the pictures that you saw on TV where a bridge used to be, and now there's a river, and the road goes right up to the river on one side, and it goes right up to the river on the other side, but there's nothing but river in between. They've got a lot bigger problems.
Yeah, I'm actually just looking at my topography now. I couldn't remember if I'm near the highest or not. I know I'm not the highest. But I'm kind of on a ridge line, and then it drops again.
If I remember being over there at your guys' club, ham field, ham, or your repeater site, that thing, that was sitting way up on the hill. That shouldn't have any problem, should it?
Yak is on a ridge as well, so it, yeah, it gets quite the, it stays out of, I forget how that works. I want to say, we barely clear the tree line on our tower, and we pretty much have direct line of sight to Burns Hall, one of the high rises. And that thing, you know, is 900 feet above ground level, and that's only over a mile. So where we are to Burns is a 100-foot drop over a mile.
So I wouldn't think there'd be any issue with that. I mean, you're 100 feet above, but there's a 100-foot drop. So there's 100 feet above you and 100 feet below you?
Actually, on the hill, I was just saying in the campus, I could look. I want to say, like, over in the athletic district, there's always flooding, and there was some yesterday, because their pump, their collection pump, are constantly running pretty much to keep that area from flooding out. And during the rainstorm, apparently the rolling center got cut off because of the drainage ponds getting so full.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking, I mean, you keyed up, obviously you keyed up the repeater. Well, I guess that's from your house. Are you on a handheld, or you, it sounds like you're on something more than a handheld.
I'm on a Motorola base. I'm running 25 watts right now on a Slim Jim up in a tree. I could run 110 if I found, if I'd have any white noise.
You run 110 watts on a Slim Jim? You really do that?
Amount of time, because most of the repeaters I need to work, I just keep it on low power. But theoretically, I could run 100. I don't know if 110 is within the limit, but.
Is your Slim Jim like mine? It's a piece of 300 ohm twin lead?
Copper pipe.
Okay. Well, 100 watts on that wouldn't be too bad. I was at a ham fest, I think it was either Charlotte or Shelby, and they had Slim Jims that were coiled up in a sandwich bag size piece of plastic with a piece of cardboard folded over and stapled on top. And it's a 2-meter antenna that you stick in your shirt pocket almost, and you just uncoil it. It's got a hanger on the end of it. You just hang it on something, and the other end you plug it into your handheld, and it's a 2-meter J-pole. Pretty neat.
It's mine's out of 450 ohm. I think, I don't know if you said 300 or 450. I got one for VHF or 2 meters, whatever. And I have one. I tried to build one for UHF 70, but I couldn't get it to tune right for some reason. But yeah, I wouldn't put 100 watts through that. I wouldn't put more than probably a handheld, you know, 5 or 6 watts.
That's why it struck a chord with me when you said 100 watts on a Slim Jim. That's what I was thinking of as a Slim Jim. Well, those things only have one weakness, and that is where the wires cut out to make it a J-pole. Really fragile at that point. Other than that, they're pretty neat.
Antennas. I've got one. I actually built one for 800 megahertz to listen to public safety. It was hanging up in my window. I think it fell. I'm just looking up now, and I don't see it on the nail anymore. Connected to my scanner, it worked really well. And on VHF, We went up to Sassafras during winter field day, and a couple of those were used. They seemed to work pretty well.
I used it as a, inside the attic. I put the house is a two-story house, so the attic would be the third story. And then if you go up to the apex of the roof, it's a really steep, it's like 45-degree angle roof. So it's like 30 feet to the top of the house. So I put a hook in that beam that went down the center of the top. Put a hook in there, and I hung it on that, and it was there's enough room in the attic for it to hang all the way straight down vertical, and put a piece of coax into it and fed it into my flex radio, and I was running 5 watts apers for a few years on that thing, and it held up for a few years that way. I don't do it anymore, but that's what I decided to use that one for, and it worked great.
Great antennas. I've been using in the tree as a temporary. The copper pipe one, but I've got 2 fiberglass dual band VU antennas. Like a lot of things in my life, I've been meaning to put up, but I haven't ran the coax and put the mast. I had a mast on my house. I took it down, need to put it back up, and I bought it. Had a TV antenna on it, so I'll put that dual band on top of that. But it will work better than this antenna, but this antenna works okay. I'll probably still leave it up as a backup antenna.
Well, have you been out and about any today? Or have you been at home all day?
Most of the day. I left this morning to run some errands, and yesterday I didn't leave at all. I was actually under the weather a little bit. But today I spent some time out and about.
You come across any storm damage?
I didn't really drive. I'm trying to think. I didn't notice any here. I did run into a friend of mine in a restaurant I had lunch at, and he is pumping / cleaning out his basement where some drainage pipes had backed up. And he's like, yeah, I knew it was an issue, and I put it off, and, well, of course the rain came, and it got worse, and you know, he's got some roots in one of his drain pipes.
Well, I turned the radio on a couple of times yesterday throughout the day. I never did switch it over to the weather, NOAA weather. I should have done that. But I did hear Steve talking to somebody saying he saw those RVs, 2 of them rolled over and a third one on top of it, and that there was like 90-something mile-an-hour winds over in Spartanburg. I think they got hit pretty bad in Spartanburg.
They had a tornado, I think, and I want to say, did Charlotte have a tornado?
The guy I was talking to that lives up there, I was talking to him this morning, and he said they should have declared a tornado, but it wasn't. I don't think it was up there, but they got lots and lots of water. He said there's a lot of trees laying over, big trees, old trees, with root system that is, when it's laying on its side, the top of the roots are over your head, the roots that used to be in the ground. He said he saw lots of those. W4DJW.
And yeah, it could be a micro or a macro burst, I guess, depending upon the distance. But yeah, I guess there was no rotation.
So, changing the subject, what's your latest project you got on the board?
I'm playing around with All-Star Link at my house. I got a node here on UHF on 446 something. I picked one of the simplex channels and put a tone on it. Things of that nature. I've actually been working on that, and I've got a VHF DMR repeater coordinated for Clemson, but I haven't put it up yet. I've got cavities here, but we're currently looking at some major construction that's going to happen in those buildings in the next couple of years, so I'm trying to balance that as well. And then various things on the public safety radio side here. We've been specking out more infrastructure, repeaters, frequencies, you name it, combiners, multi-couplers. That's been keeping me pretty busy.
So to connect to that All-Star node that's on the simplex repeater on the 146 frequency, You have to have another all-star node to do that, or can you use any, I mean, could a SVX link server communicate it through through the internet with UDP and come out on 146 over there?
I know. I'm not sure if SVX has a module in it. I know if you've got another all-star node, you can connect, or you can connect to the telephone portal. They used to have a SIP portal, but apparently they shut the SIP portal down, so if you had a SIP-capable VoIP phone, you could connect too. But I tried, did some research, and apparently that doesn't work anymore.
Does it have a protocol called RAW for audio that it can send at a UDP port?
Something I can turn on and off. I have to look. That's a good question. If Mike can do that, I know you can. I think I can actually set up a SIP, a SIP channel, the channel.sip driver inside of my Asterisk server, and then you could, they give you my IP address, and you could use that to log in.
To log in with audio, I'm thinking a reflector that throws UDP packets at a IP address and listens for UDP packets from an IP address and a port number.
Here, I'm not sure. I know you can do it. I don't know if you can do it at that raw of a level. I thought they did it through SIP, but I'm not sure.
Well, I'm sitting behind a firewall, so I'd have to do some port mapping. But I'll look into it. I'm pretty sure I saw RAW as one of the, and I don't know what RAW for that protocol means. It might be their version of what RAW is for UDP packets. But one of my adventures is going to be to have two of them communicating across the network and just play around with that protocol and just see how it works. But that storm had a surge yesterday. Power went out here and it came right back on. And the Echolink node on this repeater it wouldn't respond. It wouldn't take commands at the command line. I logged into it. So I had to scramble last night and put together another one and got it running late last night. But once I get the backup for that one back up and running again, or the primary, I'm running on the backup now. Once I get the primary running again, I'll play around with that and see if I can get some raw UDP packets and then go look at AllStar and see what it defines as raw and see if they're compatible.
Fine, I'd be interested to know. Just thinking through, I haven't seen that, but it might be an option. I've only done it. I've really just been following a lot of the instructions. I'm not overly fluent. Some of the fundamental stuff, but it's pretty capable. And it's pretty easy to set up a node. It's just a Raspberry Pi, some sort of interface to it, which you can use a CM108 IC audio card. They're like $5 or $6 on eBay. And solder core and PTT and your audio lines on there and connect it to a radio that has that out. That's what I'm doing.
So here's another idea to run by you. With the FiPi sound card, it's not a USB sound card. It's a sound card that goes through the I2S port or protocol on the board. With the FiPi, you put the FiPi on there. It's got multiple inputs and multiple outputs. But whatever comes in goes out. So you could have, like, SVX using left and right in and out, and you could have AllStar running on the same Pi using the opposite, right, left and right, in and out, on the opposite two ports. So you've got four line ins and line outs, or two lines in, two lines out. Once it gets on the card, it's one format, a single format, and either one of them can talk to the card. So if you get both of them running on one Pi, both of them talking to the same card, that could be your bridge.
I think AllStar will do that. I know there's a left and a right channel, obviously, on the audio card. What you're saying, it actually goes to the FiPi directly. Yeah. haven't played around with that because honestly, Pis are so cheap and audio cards are so cheap, I was just going to make them dedicated for each radio channel.
Well, if you had that, if you used all four ports and you had All-Star and SVX Link running on a single Pi, then you could connect to the All-Star node and you would be connected to the SVX Link node, or you could connect to the SVX Link node and you would be connected to the All-Star mode. I'm thinking of it as a bridge that way. So you can get in with either solution. It would bridge the two solutions together into one.
Reading here, it looks like, you know, they're giving some information here. I know within All-Star you can set up Echo Link on the node, which I don't know what, with that being true, what would be the use of the SVX Link software?
Well, you could, if you joined up with the same, on the same, what do they call those things, conference server? If you joined the same conference server, yeah, you're essentially a single system. So that would be the same thing as a conference server, a dedicated conference server of your own that's not taking up any bandwidth of somebody else's conference server. But that's a way to do it.
Because that's what I was thinking is with All-Star, you could just use that. And then under the Warn system, that's how they're getting back to Echo Link now, is through an All-Star node. We should have an All-Star node too. So they also have the driver or whatever it is to connect it to Echo Link. In fact, they just set it up where the net controller could have a remote connection to look at what they call Supermon, and Supermon will show who is connected to the Echo Link, like you can with Echo Link. You can see who's connected, which is a tool to use, obviously, if you're using All-Star.
Okay, so I just figured that out then. So All-Star has an Echo Link node capability, so you can bring it up and it appears as a node that is active on Echo Link, and it would have a node number. And then you would just type in that node number and a pound on your SVX link, and it would connect to the All-Star, and you're done.
Theoretically, yeah, I could connect. Like right now I could connect, which I have, my node to UCARS, and you could connect to Echo Link, Warren's. They connect to Echo Link at Warren's, and also we can talk to each other.
So do you have an All-Star node that is running the Echo Link capability and has a node number? We could try that out right now.
Mine does not have Echo Link enabled on it. I usually access it through my phone, if anything. But I could connect, if you want, to Warren's. And then you can connect to the Warren's Echo Link.
Yeah, that's going to have 1,000 other people on it, right? That's going to have a huge audience.
Just the normal Warren's repeater, so that would be, they have connected, but no more than when anyone uses any given Warren's repeater.
Do you have a node number?
I can look it up. I think it's 440... It's funny because Richard, if he was listening to me right now, he'd give me a hard time because it's actually the frequency of the repeater to make it easy.
That's the All-Star node number or the Echo Link node number for the Echo Link module? Because Echo Link node numbers aren't something you pick.
A small monetary fee, you could actually get a vanity node number.
Okay, I remember seeing something like that. So you guys got your own?
I'm trying to get connected to it right now.
I guess if it is connected to Echo Link, you could go to the Echo Link page and look up the call sign and get the node number.
Do now. The app on my phone is not happy. It should be, that's why. That's strange. I found it. Oh, second. There is, if you you're ready to copy.
Give me just a second, and I'll be ready to copy in just a second.
He's got the All-Star number and the Echo Link Node number as well.
Okay, I'm ready to copy.
442-775.
Okay, I'll go ahead and see if I can connect to it from here.
Connected my home node to the Warren sub repeater node. So if you can't be Echo Link, I'll hear you. K4BAN.
Okay, evidently this backup isn't doing my DTMF from the back door the way the other one did. It might take me a second. W4DJW.
K4BAN, let me grab another cup of coffee. I have the radio with me. It is working because I keyed up on my handheld and I heard it on my Echo Link app about a second later. So I'll be listening on the 442-775, which is Warren's, but I'm listening back to my home node, so the bubble chart on this would be interesting.
Okay, I think I might have it. W4DJW connecting to node 442-775.
K4BAN on the Warren.
DJW on W4NYK repeater.
Okay, fine, Dave, W4DJW, K4BAN.
Okay, it's All-Star node connected to an SDX node. Hey, we figured that one out. Press link are compatible via Echo Link, W4DJW.
Yeah, sunglasses working.
I think I have my, the only way I'm able to hear it is through Echo Link. A line muted over there that I can't hear what's coming in on Echo Link. I'm going to unmute that in a minute and see if I can speak over the repeater instead of speaking into Echo Link. W4DJW. Hopefully I'll appear via RF in just a minute.
Okay, this hang on. W4DJW communicating over RF to the All-Star Link through the SVX repeater.
Everlink, just you're over the Echo Link software.
Okay, I was I was listening over both of them at the same time, and I had to turn one down real quick, and you finished talking by the time I got it to where I could understand it. Try that again, W4DJW.
On the print, well, maybe two ago now, your initial conversation, were you on the software, and of course now you're on the RF?
Okay, I'm keying up and then waiting before I start talking, because when I start talking immediately, you may not be able to hear what I'm saying, because if you're talking immediately, I only get the last half of what it was you were saying. So evidently, there's a lot of latency in this connection.
I'm not sure if you can still hear me or not.
Yes, I can hear you, but going over RF causes a lot of latency. So that I only hear the first few words. Anyway, I'll go ahead and disconnect it now. That was a learning experience. There's a link, and it appears that nobody's talking. Both of them are sending courtesy tones, and each one's courtesy tone is back and forth with courtesy tones. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and put the link and get back on RF, W4DJW.
K4PAN. Yep.
Okay, that was interesting, W4DJW. It was... It's kind of slow. I don't know what everybody else heard, but I know all I heard was when you were talking, all I got was the last half of what you said, not the first half.
Complicating all this, K4BAN, is I am running a simplex node at home, so it's mutually exclusive in either receive or transmit, as opposed to if I was running a full duplex repeater. So looking at my mobile that I'm using, it appeared to be getting confused at times because it was getting a demand to push the talk from the network, and I was trying to talk back. So it may have worked better if I was using the full duplex node at home.
Well, that and there would be some tuning requirements for the squelch hang time and the courtesy tone. We'll probably have to turn the courtesy tones off and increase or decrease the squelch hang time, one of the two. I don't know, but at least we know it works. It probably needs some fine tuning on both ends, but that's pretty cool. Using EchoLink as a way to normalize between two different protocols.
Yeah, I just disconnected. I use the app. Richard helped me set it up last night. Supermon on my, actually use it on my desktop or anywhere, but and I've done all the DTMF tones. I can just select the node and hit connect, disconnect. I usually just leave mine parked on his home node because he has a home node too. He actually has three nodes. He has a radioless node in his office. He has his home node, and he has a mobile node, which is a very small UHF hat that sits on top of a Raspberry Pi.
So that means you've already been doing all this experimenting. So this is nothing new to you?
K4BAN, Richard has more than I have, actually, and our experimentation has been, other than on the hub repeater for Warren's, having EchoLink, we haven't done any cross-protocol experimentation. It's all been native to All-Star.
Okay, that would be the next step. That's what I was thinking about we need to be able to do. So we can do it via a third party, EchoLink. I just wonder if we can do it without the third party.
EchoLink enforces, I know y'all usually when you do the check-ins give some time for people to check in, which is good because there's latency there, and I'm not sure how they're enforcing quality of service back and forth from wherever their server is.
Well, I'm sure that won't be as strict as All-Star because it's used for general purpose. It's not used for emergencies. Well, I guess you could use it. That doesn't mean you can't use it for that, but that's not what it was designed for. It's designed to be worldwide, and it is. Right? It's everybody on the planet or every country's got EchoLink nodes in it. But anyway, I won't keep you. My work emails have been piling up while I've been talking to you, so I probably need to knock those out so I won't have to look at them Monday morning. Anyway, I enjoyed it. Alex, we'll have to do that again. K4BAN, W4DJW.
Yeah, it was fun. We'll have to. I'm definitely learning more. My next project is to get my VoIP phones to talk to my All-Star node locally so I can use them around the house, or if I had a cordless one, I could use that, or wireless, I guess, as it's more appropriately called. Right now, I'm on Gigaparts looking at a Yaesu FT818, one of those QRP rigs. You ever had any experience with those?
I know the rig that you're talking about well. They've got that one, and then I think somebody else has another one that's very similar to it. And I've been looking at both of those for a long time, just haven't pulled the trigger on it. Just one of those things you stare at and you think, you know, I ought to get one of those things. But I've been to their site and looked up the specs on each of them multiple times. Just haven't pulled the trigger on it.
Gigaparts has the deal right now, I guess. It's the same at HRO. Unless if you put it in your cart and wait a day, they'll send you an email and say, hey, why didn't you buy that? Here's, you know, a couple percent off if you buy it. Well, right now it's on sale this weekend. They're taking like another 25 off for Orlando Amfest. So they're currently $515.
Well, that has come down quite a bit. They were well over that years ago. So I guess economies of scale. maybe they're making, or they've made enough profit. Now they're trying to squeeze the last little bit out of the end.
Yeah, I theorize they might be driving the price down. Like you said, they might be about to come out with a different model. But, you know, ICOM has been waiting to release their QRP ultra portable rig. But its price point is like $1,000 to $1,100, so it's not even going to be near this. And I think it has integrated D-Star. So I don't know. I may buy it. I've got that MCOM 2 HF antenna and the LDG matching tuner in my car. heart right now. And I'm like, you know what, I may have to do this because I really would like it for digital, to be able to do FT8, you know, in the middle of nowhere with a tablet.
Well, I've got their 897 that has twin battery packs that fit up inside of it. I don't know if you've seen the 897. It's like a 857 with battery packs or tuner, either or both. You can put a tuner on the side, or you can put battery packs underneath of it. And that's what I got that one for. But and I never really went out in the field enough to actually use them. I'm thinking now, I mean, it's probably been 10 years ago, and those battery packs need replacing. Or I did put the charger back on them about 6 months ago just to see if they would hold a charge. But I've got that one that I could do that with if I had to, and I wouldn't have to carry a battery around with me. So I don't know. That's one of the reasons I haven't pulled the trigger on it, is that I got that one and never really put it to use, W4DJW.
K4BAN. Yeah, I have a I have a couple HF rigs, and I don't use them very often. But they're heavy. They're 100-watt, you know, built-in tuner. I mean, I think my ICOM HF rig, when I compared the weight to the whole assembly for the Yaesu, I'm looking at, is at least twice. Just the weight of the radio is twice the whole setup of the radio and the tuner that I'm looking at. So, and it's got a built-in small battery pack. So, you know, it's I'm with you.
For CPA.
Recognizing David. So, and then, Alex, you got to, then the next thing I go to after I go to those web pages is the KX3's web page, and then there's a competitor to the KX3. And so now you got four of them that you got to look at instead of two of them you got to look at. Anyway, it never ends. This hobby's just got too many legs that go out all different directions, too many tentacles. Go ahead, David, W4DJW.
Before you're late, David, I need a sideband antenna for a 7300 for 6 meters, and I just wonder what you suggest. It needs to be something I can hide.
For me, that's an easy decision. No, I don't even have to think about it. A double bazooka is what I would put up. I put up a ton of double bazookas in the attic because I had to hide them. And they're short enough. A 6 meter would be short enough to fit in your attic with no issue.
Like something, can you build that, or do most people buy them?
No, I built every one of mine. In fact, I built an Excel spreadsheet. It used to be on the club's website, too. It's a spreadsheet, and it shows you the layout of the double bazooka. And then it's got the horizontal and vertical dimension lines and the frequency that you want to operate on. You plug in the frequency that you want it tuned to, and you hit calculate. And it tells you all of the dimensions of the antenna that you need to build that specific antenna and what kind of material you have to build it with. That's why I built so many of them. I kept changing the frequency and build another one, change the frequency and build another one.
Well, do you, would you by chance have that website handy?
I don't know. I'm not sure why I put it back up on the new website, but it's Brars.cc, Brars.cc. That's correct. I think you and Alex may have doubled.
Yeah, you know, I just said I Googled it. There are a couple of other calculators out there. I couldn't find it on the Blue Ridge site, though.
I think that's because you rebuilt the site.
I'm going to jump out of here and y'all carry on. We're dropping off a car at the Toyota place here for some service. Y'all carry on. And thanks for the information. KB4CBA.
All right, David. Well, I'll look you up on QRZ and get your email. If I find the copy of it, I'll just send it to you in email, W4DJW. Go ahead, Alex.
Later. 73K4BAN. Yeah, that's pretty neat. I've actually never built one of those. I've been pretty much a dipole guy forever, I guess.
Well, they're super easy to build. I went and bought a bunch of T connectors at Lowe's, and that's the centerpiece of all of mine. So you've got a coax going, or I think it's, yeah, coax going in the bottom of the T, and then coax going out each side of the T, and everything else in the middle there. Anyway, they're kind of fun and easy to build. Anyway, Alex, I'm going to jump out. I got to knock out these emails. They're still building up over in my inbox. I got to knock them out before the weekend starts. W4DJW.
Talk with you. I'll let you do that. We'll have to experiment some more with an All-Star and Echo Link. 73, talk to you later. W4DJW, K4BAN.
Sounds good. W4DJW clear.